Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. Christ addressing the ecclesia at Laodicea. So be earnest and repent. Revelation 3 verse 19. A few words, but powerful words, strong words, direct words, blunt words, clear words. There's no illustration here. So be earnest and repent. Earnest, zealous, real, definite, heartfelt, passionate. Get some warmth here at Laodicea. You're a tepid people. You're a half-hearted people. You're lukewarm. You're neither one thing nor the other. Be earnest, be real. Get a heart in this matter. This is what Christ is saying to this people, and repent. Notice the connection. So be earnest. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So, learn from my rebuking. Learn from my discipline. Be earnest. Be zealous. Be determined. Be real. Get some heart into this matter. I'm speaking to you. I'm disciplining you. I'm rebuking you. And I will come in judgment unless you repent. Turn. Change of mind. Change of heart. Change of will. Change of direction. Get some heart. Wake up and repent. Put things right. Reform. Return to me. This is what Christ is saying to these people. Note the connection. Be earnest and repent. Passion, warmth, emotion, I would say, and repentance. Many years ago, when Billy Graham was in this country, the UK, a man was trying to persuade Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones to go and listen to the preacher. And he was trying to encourage him. And he said, they're going forward in their hundreds, whatever it was. And he said, and there's no emotion. There is no emotion. He thought that would impress Lloyd-Jones. There was no emotion. It was just going forward, you see, without emotion. But as Lloyd-Jones says, how can you repent without emotion? The man was confusing emotion and emotionalism. Of course there's emotion in repentance. I've been wrong. I've been going in the wrong direction. I've been facing the wrong way. I've been wrong. Think of that. I don't feel it. I don't worry about it. No. Of course not. There must be this earnestness, this zealousness, this emotion as leading to repentance. Of course, this is a repeated chorus in all these churches. It's there directly in chapter 2 and verse 5, in chapter 2 and verse 16, but it's implied throughout these letters. Wake up! Where things are wrong, they've got to be put right. Christ isn't writing these letters, sending these letters through John just to say something. He wants action. Get action here. Put something into place. Now, Christ is addressing churches here, but let me begin at the other end of the spectrum. These words have a strong application to unbelievers. The call of the gospel, Jesus, Mark chapter 1, verses 14, 15, and 16, those passages. What does he say? Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Paul, Mars Hill, the Areopagus. Repent. God has appointed a day. He's ordained a man. He's raised him from the dead. He's going to judge the world by that man. So repent. Oh, yes, unbeliever, if there's any unbeliever listening to me, you need to turn around. You're going away from Christ. Come to Christ. Change your mind, change your heart, change your direction. And there's got to be some feeling in it. It's a heartfelt thing. Repentance is in the mind, yes, but it's in the heart and in the life. But it's a word to the individual believer. Brother, I need this. I don't speak it because I'm free of it, standing on a high horse here, as it were, or riding on a high horse and standing on a big pulpit high above everybody else, telling everybody else what to do. No, I need to repent too. I need to change my direction where I'm wrong. There are things in my life, no doubt, that Christ will rebuke and correct and discipline. And I must listen to it. I must bow to the rod and the one who smites me with it, Christ. Sister, it's the same for you. Brothers and sisters, we need to repent where we have to repent. Where Christ is touching us on these sore spots, we must listen and turn. But of course, the main word is for churches. Churches need to repent when they're going away from Christ. How can they go away from Christ? Well, the list is endless. Aping the world. I see so much of that today. We've gone to the world. We've asked their opinion about what they would like, how they run their affairs. How do you do it? We'll do the same for you. And so on. Going to the world. False teaching. Ah, well, we don't have false teaching. Oh, yes, false teachers don't come with a hat, the label on it saying, I am a false teacher. Any drift away, any movement away from the liberty there is in Christ, the gospel of Christ. There's too much law preaching about the place and too little gospel preaching these days. We need to repent over bad practice. Take 1 Corinthians. There was a church there that needed to repent and reform over discipline, 1 Corinthians 5. We needed to repent and reform over the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. It needed to repent and reform over church practice and the priesthood of all believers, 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. And so it goes on. They had errors over the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. And it goes on and on and on. They needed to put their house in order. Churches who were proud, boasting, bragging, smug, dead, compromising, need to get real and repent. That is Christ's word to Laodicea, and he's still saying it by the Spirit to the churches today. Are the churches listening? Are the elders listening? Are the believers listening? Am I listening? Will an unbeliever listen to this and act upon it and turn to Christ and cry out for mercy? I would say this. That word so be, those two words there. There's another connection. So be earnest and repent, not just because I rebuke and discipline, but those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Christ calls to repentance out of love. This is a call for repentance, a command for repentance, an invitation to repent, an urging to repent, all out of love. Unbeliever, Christ addresses you now in love when he says to you, repent and return to me and I will forgive you freely. Backslider, repent and return. Christ says it to you out of love and he will heal your backslidings. Churches, elders, repent and reform and return to Christ, for he says it out of love. This is the voice of mercy. This is the expression of love, desire, wish, longing. Christ is urging repentance here, all out of love. This is what Christ intends here, repentance, and he urges the motive of love. Of course, if you will not heed the command, unbeliever, if you will not repent, if you will refuse, then you will perish. Churches will be spewed out of Christ's mouth, or the candlestick be removed if they will not repent and reform. The unbeliever will suffer, but the believer too. Believer, if we will not heed the voice of mercy, then we shall meet the rod again, even harder. Let me close with a hymn by W.B. Collier. I think it catches the spirit of what I've been trying to say. Return, O wanderer, return, and seek thy gracious Father's face. Those warm desires that in thee burn were kindled by reclaiming grace. Return, O wanderer, return, and seek thy heavenly Father's heart, whose pitying eyes thy grief discern, whose hand can heal thine inward smart. Return, O wanderer, return. He heard thy deep, repentant sigh. He saw thy softened spirit mourn when no intruding ear was nigh. Return, O wanderer, return, thy Saviour bids thy spirit live. Go to his bleeding feet and learn how freely Jesus can forgive. Return, O wanderer, return, and wipe away the falling tear. 'Tis God who says, no longer mourn. 'Tis mercy's voice invites thee near. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so said Christ. So be earnest and repent, so said Christ. Will we? Out of Christ's love and love for him in return, will we hear, heed, act, and repent and return to Christ? May it be so for his glory. Amen.